What's up, everybody? My name is Eric, and you're listening to the SideQuesting Podcast. I have one announcement before we get started today. Our podcast is now available on a ton of different major platforms all over the internet, such as Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Stitcher, just to name a few. If you happen upon our humble podcast in your internet wanderings, it would mean a lot if you could leave us a like, rating, or review. It really helps us out, it helps other people find us, and it helps us connect more with our audience. If you'd like to keep up with everything going on here at the SideQuesting Podcast, you can follow us on Twitter at PodSideQuesting. You can also follow me on Twitter at Riptide104 and my co-host Tom at RedRival26. You can even email us at SideQuestingPodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for all the support and enjoy the show. Welcome to episode 9 of the SideQuesting Podcast. As always, my name is Eric. I am your host today. We're going to be doing things a little bit differently today. Unfortunately, my co-host Tom got called into work. The adulting world needed him today, so he will not be joining us. I figured then what I would do is I would take a shot at doing a solo podcast here. I'd be the only voice talking. I think this will be a good opportunity, and hopefully you guys don't get tired of listening to me over the course of the next 45 minutes to an hour. I think this will be a good opportunity for me as well. A couple things I've discovered over the past 8 or 9 podcast episodes we've been doing is that I do enjoy to talk, and when I enjoy it, I tend to speed up and ramble a lot, and I think this will be a good opportunity for me to practice some of my speaking skills and try to eliminate some of the filler words that I tend to use to fill time with if I can't think of something. My brain tends to think faster than what my mouth can move, and I try to make words come out, and it just comes out as vomit word soup sometimes. So we're going to take a shot at doing that today. Maybe you guys will like it, maybe not. I don't know. But I do believe that Tom will be back next week. He just had a work thing he had to cover for somebody, so that is totally fine. I'm going to take my best shot at doing it here alone. And I think the plan is going forward for the next couple of weeks. What we're going to try and do is we're going to get back to Filler Arc Episode 2, talk about some more My Hero Academia. We've been talking with a couple people in the Discord and a couple people on Twitter. We're going to try and have some people on the show as guests, just kind of talk about some different things, talk about their streams, talk about different projects that they're working on, and just get them involved in our video game discussions as we go along here. I think that'll be really exciting, and it'll be some smaller guys. We want to highlight these small streamers, not that we're a super big podcast here to begin with. Our small audience that we have, we do appreciate you listening in every single week. We're going to be highlighting some small streamers just to kind of see what they do, why they started streaming, the different projects that they work on, and, you know, their families, friends, things like that. And just talk about, too, about their favorite games, because that's what we're kind of here to do, right? We're here to talk about video games. One piece of news I wanted to follow up on, if you listened to our episode last week, we ended up talking about the Borderlands movie. We were kind of talking about all the different castings there. Very exciting piece of casting news that came through this week. Our big topic last week was who would play Claptrap in the Borderlands movie. That was a topic we had fun with. We threw some names around. My number one ranked person that I wanted to play was Gilbert Gottfried. I thought that'd be hilarious, but the news came out this week that they casted Jack Black to play Claptrap, and honestly, I'm kind of a fan of that. I think it is a good casting. Jack Black is he's a really funny actor and just an all-around genuinely great human being, and his kind of wackiness I think he could bring to the role would be really good for Claptrap. As I kind of went and thought more about the Borderlands movie, what we might not be happy with the casting is the way they are so far, but this is really a Hollywood take on characters that were created virtually, right? So they're going to do what they think they need to do to fill the lifelike roles of these virtual characters. And while some of the roles we might question, like Kevin Hart playing Roland, I think having Jack Black play Claptrap is a really great idea. If you were almost to reverse it and have Claptrap from the gameplay a human being, it would probably be Jack Black, just because he kind of has all these kind of crazy antics that he does. He just brings a really lot of high, silly energy to every kind of role or everything that he does on his YouTube channel or on social media. So I think he'll do a great job, and hopefully that will be one of the centerpieces of this movie that'll really help it do well. You might think, just because of all the shit talking we were doing about the movie last week, that we are looking forward to when it fails. That's not true at all. We don't want the movie to fail. We don't want any of these people that work really hard to produce this entertainment for us, for this to be received in a negative light. We just tend to talk about it because we have ideas of the way we would do things. But obviously, I am a small-time podcaster that sits in my room and records audio, not a big-time movie producer. So what do I know? Wishing the best of luck to the Borderlands movie, and also to just a side note, just because we make fun of things here doesn't necessarily mean we hate them. You may have heard that we do like to shit on Fortnite a lot, just because it's kind of the popular thing. It's kind of an easy target to make fun of. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we hate it and we don't hate people that play it. We here at the Side Questing Podcast encourage people to play whatever they want as long as it makes you happy. Like, we may make fun of things like Fortnite or Battletoads or your favorite video game or whatever, but if that thing truly brings you joy and happiness, then you shouldn't feel bad about playing that thing. Not at all. So the thing I really wanted to talk about today was people's relationship with games and why people play games in the first place. And really, it kind of got me thinking about this when I read the story earlier this week about Riot's CEO having a lawsuit filed against him for allegations of inappropriate and sexual misconduct at work from his former assistant. And we're not going to talk about that specifically or talk about the role that sexual misconduct and predators have had in gaming as of the last year and a half. There's been a lot of great pieces written about that, and I am certainly not the smartest or best understanding person to kind of talk about that sort of issue. I think it'd be better for me to talk about kind of what games mean to people, why they play them, why they put themselves out there, why people go to work in the game industry in the first place, why people stream their favorite games when they risk that they will be harassed and made fun of because of who they are, what they like, what their gender is pretty high. And I think that's more of an appropriate place for me to kind of talk to, because I've experienced that and I've been a part of it. I used to stream a little bit and kind of been talking to people on Twitter, and I think that's probably the best place for where I can come into it. So I just kind of want to tell you my own story and just kind of talk about other people's stories as well. When I was younger in grade school and high school and we were able to start playing sports, I've been a long time sufferer of pretty severe asthma and allergies, and anyone that's grown up in the grade school, high school system knows that high school and grade school sports are very important to people, and it's really where you form a lot of your relationships. If you're playing sports on the sports team, those are your friends, and those kind of the circle of influence that you exist in during your time in grade school and high school. And I did play soccer and basketball for a few years in grade school, but by the time I got to high school, because of my asthma, my breathing problems, I was not able to keep up with some of the more athletically gifted kids, and my body just didn't develop at the rate or way that I could athletically match anybody that I was playing against. And so during high school, I didn't play any sports at all. I focused more on creativity and things like that, like music. I was in choir, and a big part of my life from the moment I was born, or from my dad introducing me to video games when I was 3 years old, was I really enjoyed playing video games. And video games had always been kind of an outlet for me. It was a place that I could go whenever I was feeling stressed or upset or having any kind of issues. And you might think back then, well, you know, what do kids have to worry about? But kids are always under an immense amount of pressure, whether it's to perform in school, perform in sports, perform at home, do their chores. There's always things that we're throwing at kids telling them to do. So yeah, it is possible for kids 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 to be under an immense amount of pressure, especially from their social circles and their peers, that, you know, society is telling us, oh, you need to sit in fit into these social circles or these social norms. So video games for me was a way that I could escape from the reality for a little while and actually made me feel good about myself because I was not able to play sports or be with these other kids that, you know, I really wanted to and I really enjoyed doing those things. It's just it was hard as a young kid putting in all this practice time after school in the hot summers and just, you know, sitting on the bench and never getting any playing time. That was really difficult. So video games became kind of an escape, and I quickly fell in love with the stories that video games told, especially games like Kingdom Hearts, which became my favorite franchise of all time. And it was just kind of an escape. And eventually, like throughout high school, I found shooters and I was pretty good at them. It gave me a chance to compete, even though I couldn't compete in actual sports. So when you're talking to a person about video games or talking to them about playing games, it's not just, you're not just at a waste of time, you know? It's not just, oh, you're just doing this and it doesn't mean anything. Like, it could mean a lot to whoever is playing them, depending on what their past social experiences are, if you understand what I'm saying. So for me, it became an escape. For someone else, it might be an escape for if they don't particularly have a good home life. Or it might be an escape if they're having troubles with their relationships. It might just make them feel better just to hear a story if all that they hear in their life is negativity and no positive reinforcement. It might just feel good for them to play the hero in a story. So it's really confusing to me when it's supposed to be a thing that as a community we all love and all mean something to us, when we kind of fracture into these different tribal groups and then attack people based on what they like, what they don't like, what their gender is, what their religious beliefs are, what their, you know, just preferred way to live their lifestyle is. I experienced life differently because I went to a private school and my private school was 100% white kids. And I didn't really have any experience with anything outside of this religious private school until I went away to college. And I went to a big college in the city of Chicago that was very diverse. And, you know, I learned a lot from my time there. So I don't understand why the gaming community seems, and then this is not the whole community at large, but there are certain people in the community that seem to think that if it doesn't fit within the societal norms or their definition of what people should be doing, to that they need to tear other people down. I really don't understand that. And I kind of touched on it in the first episode that we ever did of this podcast when Tom and I are kind of talking about how stupid the idea of console wars are. It's really telling to see when you go on Facebook or go on Twitter or wherever these social medias are. And I follow PlayStation and Xbox and all these people on social media. It's weird to see that you just go into the comment section. And you can see it. Xbox will post a thing and it'll be whatever about some game is coming out or whatever they're trying to promote. And it'll just be like, oh, okay, so everybody that hates Xbox but loves PlayStation will jump in and be like, oh, it doesn't matter because Xbox just sucks and everybody who has Xbox is stupid and only smart people play on the PS5. And then it's the reverse way when PS5 posts things, it's the Xbox people. And I'm saying this is a very, very small fraction of people that do this, but I just don't understand kind of that angry tribalism to have to pick a side when really games should be celebrated and shouldn't be pick a side and hate the other side. Like, that's not the way really anything in this world should work. And to kind of have this tribalism sense where it's like, oh, I have to pick a side and then defend me and my own is very frustrating, very annoying. And it leads people to be mean to other people for no reason. Like, if a kid posts on the Xbox thing and says, oh, like, I'm excited for this game because I love playing this game, and then the next comments on there are like, oh, you're stupid because you should be playing on PlayStation. Like, what does it really matter? Like, this person is having fun playing something that they're really excited to play on their preferred system. Why does it matter? Why does you attacking this person, does that give your life meaning? I don't really understand it. And I'll just say it from my example. I didn't really care back in the day. There wasn't really an informed decision that I... For when I started playing console video games, I had a PS2, and then I switched over to 360 because that's what a majority of the people in my high school had that I played video games with, is they had 360s. And then when I went to college and the Xbox One came out, I bought an Xbox One because that's what most of my friends had. It wasn't like a thing where I was like, oh, Xbox is necessarily better than PlayStation. It was just what all my friends had enabled me to play games with them. That was my driving factor. So to have these people running around just pretty much saying you're an idiot or just making fun of you because you're not playing on one console versus the other, to have this kind of console tribalism is very, I think it's dumb. I think it's really stupid. And it doesn't just end with console tribalism. It kind of goes into everything, right? If you are playing a game on, and let's say you're a streamer, right? You're a small-time streamer, and you're playing a game on Twitch, and somebody just comes across your channel randomly and sees you're playing X game, whatever. And in my experience, I did this for a little while a few years ago, and I was a small-time streamer, and it built a small little community of people around me, some to I still talk to this day because they're really great people. But every once in a while, you just have the occasional person that would come in and just be like, oh, why are you playing this game? This game's dumb. And just be like, okay, well, why are you here watching my stream if you don't like this game? Like, what does it matter to you? And you think what the average person would do when they come across this stream of somebody who's playing something that they don't care about, it'd be like if you're watching something on TV, right? So if you're watching something on TV and you're scrolling through channels, right, trying to find something to watch, and you come across something that you hate, like let's say, like just for an easy example, like you hate basketball, you don't like watching basketball, it's just not fun for you, why would you torture yourself and like stay on that channel and just say out loud to yourself in your living room, I hate this, this is really stupid, I hate this? Like, you're entitled to not like something if you don't like basketball or whatever, that's fine. But if you go onto someone's Twitch channel and you see that they're playing a game and it's just not your cup of tea, like, why would you sit there and just degrade them and say, this is stupid, why are you playing this? This is so much better, you should be doing this. It's like, you're visiting this person's channel and they've worked up the courage to put themselves out there and share something on Twitch that they're really passionate about and a game that they really love. And you're just coming by and just completely shitting on them for no apparent reason at all. Like, they don't know you, they have no personal connection to you, that they have nothing invested in. I mean, they obviously have something invested. They'd like to get to know people that visit their channel better. But then when you just come in and you're just like, oh, this is stupid, like, you're stupid for playing this, that's just really dumb, I think. And I think it's, I don't see the need for people to do that. Maybe it makes you feel better about your own life to just put other people down. I don't understand that, because people are entitled to play and share and do the things that they want to do, especially if it makes them feel good. So I don't really understand that frame of mind. And it goes just beyond people making fun of people that play different games that they don't necessarily view as fun. It also goes into like popular streamers too that are not the definition of a quote unquote gamer. And I think females and women get it the worst, right? Because they should have every right, as much as me, a male, to participate in the gaming community, because male or female, it can be fun for you no matter what you identify as. If you're straight, if you're gay, if you're bi, transgender, like, it doesn't matter. You should be able to enjoy a video game as much as the next person. So I especially don't understand this around female streamers, to where especially the big ones that deal with a lot of shit every day, and to a lot of the big women streamers out there, like, you guys are strong as hell for putting up with this shit on a regular basis, because there's a lot of shithead people out there that will just go into their streams and just be like, oh, you're a woman, you can't possibly be good at a game, or you're just doing this to get like e-girl attention, like, you can't possibly like this game, or you're using your body or your good looks to get likes, and just all this terrible, nasty stuff that gets said to them on a regular basis. I don't understand why people feel the need to do that, and I think it's inappropriate. I think if you're so upset and angry at your own life that you have to go out of your way to go onto somebody's stream and belittle them for being fake or telling them that they don't belong in this community, they have every right to be there as you do. So I don't understand what you get out of it. I really don't. And especially for the extra level of nastiness that female streamers have to deal with about these sicko people that harass them and message them, tell them to send nudes, say all this nasty shit to them that is very sexually perverse. I don't understand why you feel the need to do that and how that makes you feel better as a person. I understand that the internet provides you some level of like an anonymity, but that doesn't give you the right to say that to that person when all they're trying to do is share what they love with other people, because that's what the gaming community should really all be about, is sharing what we love together. I don't really understand it. A female streamer should be able to fire up her stream and not have to worry about someone coming in and say, you know, like, take off your shirt or whatever. Or just, I don't really understand it. And it's especially prevalent, too, that these people feel like that particular streamer owes them attention. Like, if you're visiting someone's stream, it's to be entertained, right? You're not visiting the stream for that streamer to pay attention solely to you. And if you feel like you're entitled to that person's time, let me tell you, that's not how it works. You might feel like, oh, I subscribe to so-and-so female's stream and, you know, they're actively making money off of me, and so my mindset should be that person owes me, they should talk to me and whatever. I should fantasize about being in a relationship with them, and then when they turn me down, I'm mad and call them all these terrible names. It doesn't work that way. You're actively choosing to support somebody on a site that's free to stream, right? You're just, because you choose to support that person doesn't mean you're entitled to their time, if that makes sense. Like, and you can't get mad at them for doing that. You can't get mad and say, oh, well, I subscribe, so you should be nice to me and you should be messaging me and all this stuff, and I should be able to say whatever I want to you. No, it absolutely doesn't work that way. It's not what a decent human being would do. If you're out there and if you think this person might be you, maybe you should consider reevaluating some of your life choices, because streamers and people online, content creators, are there to entertain you, right? And it's nice to be able to make a living off of doing something you love, playing video games and entertaining people. That's great. I would love to be able to make a living off this podcast because I do enjoy sitting here and talking about things. And like I said, when Tom and I started this podcast, we didn't just want to talk about the generic video game stuff where it's like, oh, this week, this and such a game is out, and this game is good because this, and this game is good. I wanted to be able to talk about the harder conversations as well, topics like this. And because I think it's relevant to a gaming community, and that it's always, these people are the minority, right? So these people aren't the majority of us. I've met some incredible people that I've never met in real life that raise money for amazing causes that are just genuinely the nicest people. Like I said, I have never met Tom in real life, and I met Tom 2-3 years ago on the Discord server that we joined together. And really, we've kind of had this partnership, and he's been a friend and a game buddy of mine for ever since then. I know Tom better than I know some actual people that I've actually met in real life. So there are genuinely great people on the internet trying to do genuinely great things. It just seems that the shithead people are always louder than the people doing good things, and they get the most attention, and it gets most attention in the media. Because that's what the good story is, right? They want to portray it as, oh, like, gaming creates these people that harass people and do all of these things, and that's not what we want them to see, because then it makes all of us look bad. And we shouldn't all have to look bad because of a few bad people. That's really frustrating. This should be an open place that people can express themselves via the things that have been created for us to play and entertain ourselves. Another thing that's related to this too, and this is kind of the same vein of people, the people that make death threats against others, like, this has been pretty relevant the last couple of years, because it seems that this has increased over time as people have become more vocal and bold on the internet because there's no consequences to the things that they say. And I think this was a really good example of earlier last year when Last of Us 2 leaked the script and the story leaked online, and a lot of people were really mad with the way that the story went and a lot of the characters, and people started targeting the staff at Naughty Dog, the voice actors. One of my favorite people in the world, Laura Bailey, she was the voice of Abby, I believe, and she is a prominent member of Critical Role. She posted screenshots on her Twitter of people just tweeting her death threats and saying, I hope you fucking die, or like, you're a bitch, and how dare you ruin one of my favorite things. And I don't understand that, because as a fan of something, you have a right to be passionate as a fan of something, right? And the things that we're fans of absolutely make up our identity. Like, I wouldn't be who I am today without the influence of Kingdom Hearts, or the games that I played, or the things that I watched when I was younger, or the movies that I went and saw. So you're allowed to be a fan of things and be passionate about them, but you have to understand that, again, it's the same thing as the subscribing to a person on Twitch. Because you are a fan of something does not give you the right to feel like that fandom owes you anything. I mean, it does kind of owe you something, because the thing that's being produced wouldn't be successful without you, but you don't get to claim like this sole ownership over it and then accuse everybody else who has a different opinion on you of the thing that they also like that you like. That's not how that works. And for such a great person as Laura Bailey to get death threats, or the people that worked on this game to get death threats over something that's like, it may not be the way that you envision the story to go, and it may not be the classic heterosexual straight male person saves the world. I understand that, you know, Ellie being the main character of the game and having a choice to make her have relationships with other women. Who the fuck cares? Why is that sticking point to you? And then for everyone to cry, oh, social justice, oh, this is just the way it's going. It's like, strong male figures have had the spotlight in video games for so long that it's been seen before. It's been done before. So to me, as a person that wants to see different kinds of stories told, like, of course I want to see people that have different relationships than the standard way they've been portrayed for years and years and years. Because, A, that's a perfectly fine and acceptable, okay thing, right? Who fucking cares if this person is in love with a man or a woman or whatever? Like, what does it matter? It honestly doesn't. It's the same thing in people's personal lives. Like, why do you care what so-and-so is doing? Like, do you not have enough to, like, worry about your own life that, like, it does, honestly does not matter. It just doesn't. And then for you to get so mad to say, no, this thing can't be this way, and if it's not this way, well, then I'm gonna fucking kill you, is outrageous. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I just don't understand why some people think that they claim ownership to a thing just because they like it. Like, you're allowed to like something and you're allowed to criticize it because it's not what you wanted, but you're not allowed to disparage and threaten other people because of it. It's just, and I don't understand what you get out of it. I really don't. What is the point? Does it make you feel better? Maybe nobody told you they loved you when you were younger, so you just feel the need to lash out and just hate everybody and tell them you're going to kill them because it makes you feel better. If that's the case, you should go get some help, because that's really messed up. And it's not just this one isolated incident. It happens all the time when things like this happen, when little changes are made to the show here, or they want to go in a different direction based on what society's going towards. And it's, oh no, it's not the normal hetero norm, and it breaks the mold, and it's just, oh, this is social justice, this is what it is, this is what everything's going to be now. It's like, people have told these same iterations of stories for years and years, and now that it's acceptable for these other things in society to go the way that they are, they should be allowed to tell these different stories. And they shouldn't have to fear for their lives to do it. And I just think that it really brings out the worst in the community. And it really makes me ashamed that those people are doing that. And I feel terrible for people whose hard hours go into creating things for other people, whether it's streamers, whether it's developers, whether it's, you know, whoever, artists, any kind of medium, you know, you might just think, oh, like, streaming is the best job in the world and all I have to do is like play video games and stuff. But especially if you're a popular streamer and you have to just deal with this barrage of just terrible negative energy every single day, where it's just people coming in and saying, you don't deserve this, or like, you're fake, you don't actually like this, or whatever, like, that would take a toll on anybody, honestly. And people aren't just immune just because they're a big streamer on a screen or a big movie star on a screen or whatever. Everybody, regardless of how successful they are or how much money they have or whatever their disposition is, have feelings. And I'd be willing to bet that more often than not, when some of those big streamers see those comments and they just get off, like, after a while, it's got to be exhausting, right? And you don't just get to write it off and say, oh, well, they're famous, they're rich, they have all this viewing, they have all these people, they can have whatever they want, so they don't have the right to feel depressed or upset or any of these things about the things that people say to them is bullshit. 100%. We can be better. And I'm not saying that the good people need to be better, but the bad people need to be better, or they need to be thrown out of the community. Maybe not thrown out. I don't know. I don't have the answers, but it's really frustrating to see these things, because I love gaming so much, even though I'm almost 30 years old, you know? It's gonna be part of my life until I die. And it just frustrates me that people can't get to enjoy it to the certain level of everybody else, because this is only for some people, and the stories that can be told can only be for some people and for not for everybody, because it deserves to be a story of everybody. No matter what your race, creed, belief, sexual orientation, gender orientation, whatever, you should be able to boot up a game and see yourself in that person, in the hero's shoes. And for a lot of people, you can't boot up the game and see yourself as a normal, straight, white male character in a game, because that's not representative of the entire base of people playing your game. It's just not. And I don't mean to make this like a culture war issue, because it isn't. It's more of a, people should be able to enjoy what they want to enjoy, so leave them alone. And again, I don't understand why people expend so much energy in their lives going out of their way to put people down, to say they're going to kill people for what they like or what they've made. You'd be better off using that time and energy to invest in your own life to make it better and to create something. If you don't agree with something, that's, you're entitled to it. That's right. So maybe put your anger and frustration into some kind of creative output, you know? This podcast didn't come out of anger or frustration, but I felt the need to put something out there that expressed my thoughts on everything going on. So maybe instead of getting angry and frustrated, let's say Marvel does whatever to so-and-so character makes you mad, maybe put out or start like a Marvel podcast, and it's within your right to say, this is what Marvel's doing. I don't agree with it because the character's story has gone on like this, this, and like, bring facts to it and talk about it from a critical standpoint rather than just throwing a fit on the internet and ruining the enjoyment of said thing for someone else. Because there are a lot of people on this planet. There's over 7 billion people. To expect everybody to get along and agree with each other is just impossible. And I think that's the really great part about being a human, is that we can have differences of opinions with other people. And it's been getting worse as the years have gone on, the past 10 or 12 years so especially, where if somebody comes out with an opinion that isn't the same as yours, you're pressured to view that person as an enemy or view that person as an outsider, someone who is outside of your traditional circle, right? Or any kind of thing, any kind of change that threatens the circle or the bubble of life in which you live is viewed at as bad or negative, right? Change is really scary, and it's really difficult to perceive the way other people experience life if you spend your whole life living inside of a bubble where your norms only are reinforced. That's why when I had the decision to go to college from a small, rural, religious, private school, I wanted to go somewhere that was the complete opposite, because I understood that where I was wasn't indicative of the way life is for everybody as a whole. And even though that's the way the school and the people and the congregation and all that stuff wanted to make it seem, is that this is the way life is everywhere, it just isn't. You can't live in that fantasy world. So I went to a city, or a college in the city, that was right in the heart, right off of downtown, that had a wide and diverse array of different students, and met a lot of great, wonderful people, and experienced that it doesn't matter what you like, what your gender is, what your philosophy in life is. I had a lot of people that I consider very close friends of mine to this day that have different beliefs, different ways that they look at things than I do, different creeds by which they live life. And I may not necessarily agree with some things, but I'm not a dickhead about it. I don't say, you're wrong, we can't be friends anymore. We talk about it civilly, and then, you know, come to some kind of common ground understanding that, you know, we may not agree, but it doesn't have to destroy our relationship. And that's just kind of the society we live in today. It's not just and gaming culture is just kind of the perfect storm of this us versus them and internet meme culture that can sometimes be pretty nasty, coming together and just targeting people that they think aren't the same as them. And that's very hard, because games are more than just, oh, you know, moving a guy around on the screen, which is what they are most of the times on their base level. But games are also a beautiful expression of all types of art, of animation, of storytelling, of all these different things. And to just go out of your way to have like an us versus them mentality, which is more powerful than people think, because having something for your group to be against is a powerful motivator, right? One of my favorite examples of this is my favorite, and I mentioned on before on this podcast, we don't talk about it too much because this is not a sports podcast. I do love sports very much. My dad and I used to watch the Bulls when I was growing up in the 90s. And the guy back then was Michael Jordan. That was him. That was the guy. And he would do this thing mentally where it wasn't always true. He would create these villains in his head as motivation for him to go out and play the best he could, right? It would be, oh, this person said this and this against you, or they don't want you to succeed, or they're looking for you to fail. And look what he was able to do with that motivating mindset. So pitting something against somebody is a very powerful motivator, because it's just kind of fuck you, I'm going to prove to you that, yes, I can do it. When done in the right way, it can be achieve great results. You can win 6 championships. You can lose all that weight. Let's say you're working out at the gym and then you're running on the treadmill lifting weights and just constantly telling yourself they don't want you to lose this weight. They don't want you to be fit. They want you to fail. And then you're like, who is they? They don't know, but it's this mysterious force of people that wants you to fail. In these regards, it can be a powerful motivator. But in the same way, in politics, in life, in gaming culture, can also be used as kind of a divisive force to pit people against one another. And we've seen that a lot recently in our current political climate. We're not going to get into politics on this because it's not a politics podcast. There are so many other great people that do politics podcasts out there that you can listen to. So I don't understand why they feel the need to turn people against each other or create like this us versus them mentality when games should be able to be celebrated and enjoyed by everybody. I just don't really understand that. And I probably said I don't understand that a million times in this podcast. You probably get tired of me hearing about it. I don't even know if you'll like this episode. It's a little bit more of a serious episode. There's not as many jokes being told because that's like I said when I told you guys at the very first episode, we want to talk about different things than just X game is good, Y game is good, Z game is coming out this time, this happened to so-and-so. The news market is saturated with these types of podcasts. But just because you identify as a person that plays games doesn't make you any less of a human being. So we should have the right to have these conversations within our own culture as well. So I guess honestly what it boils down to is if you're one of these people that just go out of your way to harass people because they're different than you or because they like different games than you, everyone is allowed to like something different, right? I may sit up here and say Final Fantasy IX is the best Final Fantasy of all time because it's my personal favorite. That's fine. And then somebody on Twitter might be allowed to comment and say, no, 10 is the best because this, this, and this. That's perfectly fine. I think I would love to talk to somebody on Twitter about the merits of Final Fantasy IX versus Final Fantasy X because I just love talking about games in general. And maybe through that conversation, that person will learn something about IX that they never knew before, and I'll learn something about X. That's the way that we learn and grow things. We learn things and grow as human beings, right? Is through talking to other people that have different experiences than us. But when I come out and say Final Fantasy IX is the greatest Final Fantasy of all time, and somebody comes out and says, I'm going to fucking kill you because that's wrong, and you're an idiot, you don't know what you're talking about, like, you're just not allowed to do that because it's just a matter of perspective and it's a matter of personality, right? Final Fantasy IX is always going to be my favorite Final Fantasy, not because necessarily it's the best Final Fantasy ever made, but because at the time when I was growing up, it was the first Final Fantasy I ever played. It was the first RPG I ever played. There are certain nostalgic aspects linked to it that go beyond a critical perspective. And everybody that you meet and talk to is going to have those different links, right? Games are going to meet and things to different people based on when they played them in their lives, what they grew up doing, what they grew up playing, what they had access to. I've said before on this pod, to me, I just recently got into Legend of Zelda through Breath of the Wild because it was one of the first actual Zelda games I bought for myself. When I was younger and growing up, I didn't have access to as many games as people did. So when it came down to me being able to get a couple games a year for my birthday, for Christmas, for holidays, Super Mario World was the first game I ever played growing up when I was 3 years old. And I used my limited supply of getting games to get Mario games or to get games based on the things that I watched on TV like Pokemon or things that I already existed that I liked. I didn't get Zelda because it just didn't look interesting to me. And that's not a knock against Zelda. It's just I don't have as strong of a nostalgic and emotional connection to older Zelda games as other people. As I've grown up and gone back and played the other Zelda games, I realized their importance in gaming history, and I realized the importance that they have to other people that played them at the time, like Ocarina of Time, for example. And I've played Ocarina of Time. I think it's a wonderful game. I don't think it's as great as everybody else does because I just don't have a strong nostalgic connection to it as other people do. I recognized at the time that it was groundbreaking the way Mario 64 is groundbreaking because it presented a giant leap forward in the things that games could do. But for me, I'm going to sit here and just say, oh, I like Breath of the Wild better just because I have a different emotional connection to it. And nobody's going to be the same. Everyone's going to like things differently. If your favorite game in the world is Battletoads for the NES, that's great. I'm super happy that you love Battletoads, or if somebody you're watching streaming, his favorite game is Fortnite, and they just genuinely have fun playing it because this is what they love doing, and they happen to be good at it, and they just happen to be popular. That's wonderful, and you sub to that person because they're entertaining you, and because you just want to support that person in doing what they love. But if you just come along and you're just like, oh, I don't like Fortnite, you do not have to shout your opinion in the chat at other people and tell them you're going to kill them because Fortnite is stupid. Just dumb. Absolutely dumb. I guess the closing message, and I'm going to keep this a little bit short this week because I've rambled for 45 minutes now, is just don't be a dick. I don't really understand the need people feel to just be jerks to each other because other people have different opinions or are a woman or are, you know, part of the LGBTQ community or, you know, any of these other factors that is like, oh, this person's not the same as me, so therefore they have no right to participate in this thing the way I do. No, just if you don't, I think the most powerful message my mother ever taught me was if you don't have anything nice to say, you don't say it. Because it's not worth it. And it just creates mean, hurt feelings for no reason. Not to turn this into a religious podcast, but I was raised as in a Christian school. And I realize now that, you know, Christianity gets a lot of bad rap just because of the way people perceive it in the way it's been perceived in the media, right? Whether it's the religious cake bakers that don't want to serve the lesbian couple or people trying to force their religious beliefs by saying, you know, because I believe this, you can't do it. And honestly, if these people just go back and read the message I took from that, from having learned that for, you know, 18 years of my life, was, you know, the guy that you believe in, the main thing that he did was just not treat other people like shit. He was nice to the people that society said you're not supposed to be nice to. That's all that he did. So I've always carried that through my life, is you never know what people might be going through, and you never know that. So it's no excuse to go and just dunk on the things that they love. So if you're out there, just be nice to people, talk to them about why they like certain things, and you can just say, oh, well, I like this XX thing better back because I think this. And you don't have to be mean about it. Most of the times that other person will just be like, okay, that's cool, yeah. And it'll start a conversation about a similar thing that you guys love. Like, you're allowed to like different aspects of gaming. That's just how it is. So just go out and be nice to people. And I think the whole world will be a lot better place. And I realize that that's not realistic. My one little podcast isn't going to save the day. But I don't know. Just, it's not worth wasting your energy on mean words just because somebody doesn't like the same thing you do. So I really appreciate you guys listening to my ramblings. I hope something comes of this, or maybe you'll like this, maybe you won't. I don't know. And if you happen to hear this and it changes your life, I guess shoot me a message on Twitter or email me or something. Or if you just have anything you want to talk about. I enjoy talking to people. If you want to tweet at me and say Final Fantasy IX is awful, but if you tweet it nicely, I'll talk to you. I'll be like, oh, okay, like, why do you think there? What do you think about different Final Fantasies? Like, just do that. You don't have to tweet me and say, you think Final Fantasy IX is good? I will fucking kill you. Just don't. So, I hope you guys have a great rest of the weekend. I hope you guys have a great upcoming week. My partner Tom will be back next week. And within the next couple of weeks, we'll be having a couple of guests on. We'll be doing the next episode of Filler Arc and maybe some more fun things along the way. So I'll talk to you guys later. Until then, make sure you be cool.